If you ever have seen a pregnancy or read about when someone is pregnant, you realize that there is a cord that is attached that brings life unto that child. There is a connection unto that. There's something that's bringing life unto that. And as we are blood bought by Jesus Christ, there is a connection that has been made with us, that as we know Him as our Lord, we are then connected to the life source. We are then, as they say, a part of the vine. We are a part of the fruits of the Spirit. We are no longer withheld from the blessings of God, but we are interconnected as Christ has been our advocate, and as He makes intercession for us, we are no longer dead in our sin, but we are connected and made alive by the power of God that was given to us as it was endued from on high. So let's break it down a little bit further. You can sit here tonight and pretend like that you've got nothing good to do in the house of God, but if you have ever claimed Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are connected to the life source. So you can act like you're dead, you can refuse life, but it's here for you, and you've got to choose to want to live. I visited churches that, rather than being a place of life, it was a graveyard. They had lost their connection. How can you tell? You can tell in how people live their life. If you are in a conversation with somebody and they have nothing good to say, they're not connected to the source that I'm connected to. If you strive all week long without making a single statement of faith or claiming things that you've already been claiming by faith, then you're cutting the cord to what God wants to pour deeper inside of you. I wish that I could say that everything that we call out by faith is instant, but sometimes it's a process. Sometimes you're going to encounter people that are so far gone and so far bad that it's going to take a little more than just saying, God, I know you can do it in the name of Jesus. There's going to have to be something that while you're waiting on God to move, that you continue to be sustained no matter where you are. I'm going to preach it right now just how I'm thinking it. You can go everywhere that you want to find the perfect program, the perfect tradition. You can find it to where it makes you bubble up inside the way that they execute church, but if you're not connecting to the life source, then you're missing out on what keeps you during the week, what causes you to come alive when you need to stand in a difficult situation. Because when you're not connected to the life source, the devil is on his way to seek whom he can devour. He wants to cut the cord that's inside of your life. But I'm here tonight, and I'm just going to go ahead and break in this church and tell you right now that if you're alive in Christ, you got to know it and you got to show it. If you're alive in Him, it's time to get connected and not let go of what God is doing in our lives. We're building this foundation, so we know it starts with salvation. It starts with the blood. Let's clarify, it begins with the blood. So as we are covered by the blood, we are then connected to the source. But let me tell you, that just creates the connection. But guess what? Something's got to flow. Oh, Lord. Something's got to flow. I'm getting excited. There's got to be something that brings the juice inside of you so that when you begin to feel the power, it causes you to move. When we turn on this piano and it receives the power from the source, it begins to what? Make some noise. Oh, and as you begin to receive power from the source, the only reason that you are held back from stepping out and doing things outwardly is that you've got to take that step to make something happen. You see, we can have a piano and we can have it hooked up, but unless we begin to play, we're not going to see life. Until we begin to realize that it's not just about what you feel, but it's beginning to do something with what God wants to do in your life. As we apply that, we begin to grow and be stronger. People want God to move. They do. Lost or saved, they need God to help them. But if they're seeking from someone who's not connected, nothing's going to change. We have to be a body that is connected to the source. And if we are receiving healing by God, then we're able to impart healing unto others. As we receive the gift of tongues and use the gift of tongues, then we're able to impart the gift of tongues unto somebody else. As we begin to praise Him and lift Him up, then we're able to impart praises unto other people. I'm not up here telling you that you should dance before the Lord and not be willing to get down in there and begin to dance before the Lord, because I know that if He moves in my life and I impart it unto others by faith, the only thing that holds them back is themselves. I wish that I could get this out the way I'm feeling it. Your blessing is right in front of you. For some of you, it's so close that you can even see it. But we've got to learn that as we are connected and we receive strength and power from the source, that you've still got to turn it on. You've got to learn to execute. Look over somebody and say, execute. To put into action a given command. When I come into the house of God, I'm coming filled up with His wisdom and knowledge and power to execute my calling. I don't come in and try to do what you do. I come in to execute what God has put inside of me. And if we have a body of believers, He said, that would agree, where two or three would agree, that means where people will be connected with one another, He said He'd be in the midst of it all. But as we are not connected during the week, can we go ahead and get there? I'm going to come sit with you if you don't let me. As we don't stay connected during the week, when we come in and really need a mighty move of God to begin to execute in our lives, we're missing the power. We're missing the power. And that's why so many people get discouraged as they are initially beginning a test of faith, because they often forget to continue and refresh their source of power. And we come in and we declare things and then we don't see them and we get discouraged, right? How many of you have been there? You call for things, you're declaring things to come, but then you don't see it immediately and you're thinking, well, God, you've done left me. He ain't left you, friend. He's not left your side a single moment. But it's our perspective. It's our time when we pull the plug and say, I'm done. It's already too late. I've got to get and go eat. Brother, I wish you'd just wrap it up tonight. I wish they'd sit down and quit singing as many songs so that we can move on. But let me ask you this, friend. Are you connected to the source? Because if you were connected and we were coming together in agreement, let me tell you what would happen. Instead of division, we would have a connection. Instead of separatism, where people only move in certain situations and circumstance, we'd come in and move irregardless. Electricity doesn't care what it gets a hold of. If you get a hold of it and you're a conductor, it's going to set you in a shocking state. So I want to get to the place, oh Lord, where if anybody even comes in contact with what's inside of my spirit, that whatever's bothering them, it's going to leave them. I want to be so connected with God that as I begin to speak unto something, that I begin to see the fig tree begin to wither. I want to see the mountains begin to be moved. I want to know that when I begin to execute in what God is going to do, that I believe it and see it come to pass. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now we're going to talk about the power. Are you ready? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were creating uniformity. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. I would hope one day that we no longer worry about whether we are Baptists, whether we are Church of God, whether we're Methodist and Presbyterian, I hope for the day when we finally stop putting a label on ourselves that keeps us hindered from being who we truly are. Let me tell you, friend, if you're alive, then you are exactly who you are to be. Then if you're here and you're still standing, then you're free as He has made you free. And as the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. I hope to God one day that no matter where you go, that you're able to get connected with somebody else that'll begin to agree. Is there anybody here tonight that's finally over being Baptist? Is there anybody here tonight that's over just being Church of God? Is there anybody here tonight that wants to begin to see the miracles of God begin to happen? If that's you tonight, you ought to let somebody know that it don't matter what people say you are. As long as you know that you have Christ, then you have everything. Religion is what I'd like to call an anti-conductor. You don't try to mix wood in the middle of an electrical connection. It doesn't come to life. It's natural. It's grown from the earth, right? If we are coming in our carnality and are always unhappy about everything going on and never give God a chance, then when the source is flowing, we miss the connection. I feel like I've got to say this for somebody. If you can come in, and even if you just had to close your eyes and begin to worship Him, it may be entirely different from what you've known all your life. But friend, we're not living back then. We're living in a day where the devil roams. Darkness is upon the earth, entering into the minds even of the children of God, to be drawn away by imaginations and every evil thing that can come. We're living in the day that unless we're staying with the source, unless we're anointed with His power, then we look like we have what we need. But when it comes through the time of suffering, we surely perish. As we are saved through Christ, we are anointed with a greater power that makes us more than alive, more than conquerors. We are victorious. Because why? Christ's intercession is even going on today. That means that heaven never shuts down when you're needing to send a prayer through. I'm going to preach to your house right now. Is that all right? Come on, we're going to get out of the pew and we're going to get out of the pew and get in our mind and get to our house. Listen, God wants you to be connected at your house. He wants you to be connected in your home. Home is where it all begins. If you can't walk and live in your example of God at your house, then you ain't fooling anybody when you come to church. If you can't learn to walk and take a stand by faith, even when things are going wrong, then we're always only going to hit the first plateau blessing. First plateau blessings, I like to call it the up and down blessing. It's enough to get you through this, but when something else happens, you're back where you started. And then God pours something else to you, trying to strengthen your faith, but then you get weak and weary in something, and you're back in where you started. You see, God blesses you with something to elevate you to a greater plane of faith. And He blesses you with more than what you've had before to elevate your faith to something even greater than what you knew it before. And I started out just simply believing for salvation, so I have a good firm foundation. But then He delivered me out of drugs and alcohol. And He didn't deliver me out of that for me not to have an elevated faith. So now I know and believe, and I have the standard raised in me, that whatever I begin to pray in faith for deliverance for people, I believe the words that I say mean something, because I know who my advocate is that is intercessing for me, even when I'm calling out to these things by faith. But if I'm up and down all the time, I'm never calling those things that are not as though they are, by the true power that God wants us to call out with. But I'm learning that as I am blessed, I am tested. And as I am tested, I suffer. And as I suffer, we attempt to decline in our faith. And we sort of are in this on the fence, on again, off again relationship with God. I'm just going to go ahead and talk about it. Nobody else will. We're in this on-again, off-again relationship with God. Well, we're able to come in and look like church, sound like church, look like we're having a good time in church, but you get right back out to the same mess that you've been in, and nothing changes. Oh, we don't want to talk about this, brother. We want you to talk about good. Let me tell you about what's going on today. We're not living like we should be, because you should be more happy than you are. You should not let such petty things keep you from taking another step. And if you want to grow up, you've got to step up. And if you want to grow in your faith, you've got to grow up and accept that I'm going to suffer some things. People are going to come against me. Satan is going to try to attack me. But in spite of it all, I'm still going to claim my faith. The devil may be raging, but that doesn't mean God's changing. He might be barking, but God's still all about your problems. I don't care what kind of mess that you're dealing with. If you come alive in the power of God, this I can guarantee you, it's not going to stay the same way for very long. Everything you're dealing with might look the same for months upon months, but that doesn't mean that things aren't beginning to move into motion. I'm telling you right now, I'm claiming higher things. I'm reaching out for greater blessings, and you can sit back and not go after the fruit, but I'm going on because I'm alive and I'm not going to die while I'm still here. If you want to go to church and just sit there, you go ahead. Give me your blessing. I'll take it. You're just going to sit there and say, I don't ever see it being any different. And you just go ahead and sit there and accept it just as it is. Because until we begin to move God, until we begin to move God by our faith, then things are just going to remain. You've got to call those things. You've got to take action on those things. Spiritual warfare isn't popular because we want it to be easy. We just want to come to church and have everything be better. We just want to sit in the pew and have God bless everything in our situation. But let me tell you, friend, when a burglar is knocking on your door, do you open it? If you know that Satan is raging about your life, do you willingly open the door? You've got to know and understand that the beginning of your faith is receiving salvation. But the next step of your faith is receiving a greater power. And as you grow in that power, you begin to ascend to such a level of faith that you no longer are asking by faith to receive things, but you're claiming things by faith to expect them to happen even unto other people's lives. When there was somebody that was lame on the side of the road, the disciples were walking by and saw an opportunity to bless them by faith. He came as a beggar, only looking for something to probably buy a sandwich. But they said, well, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And I'm here to tell you, their faith wasn't about getting more gold and silver, but it was about reaching out to the need that was out in front of them. If you knew somebody was going to die in 30 seconds, would you not do all that you could to save their life? If you know that people are drug bound, that they need to be saved and delivered, would you not come in and start being who you are in God and stop worrying about people? You're alive. You have the chance. This is your time. This is your opportunity. This is your season to reap what God, oh Lord, I'm just going to enjoy myself. You enjoy the view because God's got something greater in store for you. Woo! Oh Lord. I'm not coming down. I don't know if you've ever climbed a 40-foot ladder, but you just don't look down and leap off the ladder. Nobody willingly jumps off the ledge unless there's something pulling at them. And some of you tonight, I feel like that you reached a place in God where you knew He was able. You knew He was available. You knew He was alive. Man, I feel this pull and tug of the Holy Ghost. But something caused you to take the step off the ledge. and you feel like you're back at the bottom in everything that you're dealing with. And I'm going to preach to somebody. Oh, I'm talking to legal battles. I'm talking to financial struggles. I'm talking to disease and sickness. I'm talking about not knowing if you're going to be at work the next day or not. You've got to learn and understand that it does not matter what your eyes see, because faith does not walk by sight. And if we can break this deception that the enemy brings on us, we would realize that standing in our faith is a whole lot easier than we make it to be. When Jesus was at his worst estate, Satan was coming at him to tempt him to come off the ledge. He was talking to his weakness in his body. He said, "Why don't you command these stones that they be made bread?" And when you heard Christ say, "They shall not live by bread alone," you know what he was doing? He was reiterating where he was in his faith. Oh, I've got to say this. You want this door to be open. You want this trial to be over. But until you learn to be steadfast in your faith, you're going to go around this same thing over and over until you finally learn what God is trying to teach you. You're not going to get this kind of teaching everywhere you go. And guess what? I'm not even charging you for this kind of teaching. Some televangelist would charge you $29.95 to get a hold of a word like this. But guess what? I've got a special offer for you tonight. It's here tonight and it's free, because faith was free as Jesus made us free. And he wants you to prosper and not perish. Is this good for you? You want to go on? All right. I'm taking your word for it. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Let's read it, verse 41 through 44. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thine womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice," somebody say, "as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." I know that we might get tired of each other. And I know we might get burnt out on the same outfits we wear week after week. I know you might get tired of the same songs. I don't hardly have time to practice songs. You're just going to have to forgive me and accept the ones I've got in the book. But I'm here to tell you, you might get burnt out on the natural things of life, but there's something about the sound of a salutation from somebody that's alive in Christ. And that means when we assemble in the house of God, that we're to be here for each other. He said, exhort one another, lift each other up, encourage each other. Let me tell you, you don't have to battle too long with somebody that's negative. If you always give them positive, let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to quit talking. "I don't think it's ever going to be different." I'm claiming that it is. "I don't know if I'm ever going to get this pain." Well, I'm going to be praying that God pays it. "Oh Lord, I've had the worst week at work." Well, think about it. It could be worse. The more you begin to speak positive things, let me tell you, Satan is not going to stick around. As you begin to give the salutation of the Lord and exhort people, you're going to cause a leaping in the womb experience for people. You're going to cause a stirring up of that which is down inside of their soul to make them realize they're not alone. If we never share the fact that we're walking in faith together, then we probably come in here as we have before and not really know what we're supposed to do. We'll sing till we're black and blue, and we'll prophesy until we can't speak. But until we learn that we've got to do this together, then we're missing out on the encouragement and life that is here for one another. I'll just be real and say this. I don't know what I would do without all of you. You're a great blessing to me, and you may not know it, but there are times that when you encourage me that it makes me stronger. There are times that when somebody keeps singing the verse, listen, they may not even acknowledge by emotion that you're touching them, but if you obey God, you're blessing people. I don't know sometimes if I make an impact, But I know I'm here because I love you and I care about you. And I fight and struggle and strive to get to the place where God can use me to preach his word. Why? Because I want you to live. I want you to have life. I want you to have it more abundantly. And stop living in the struggle that the world lives in and start walking by the standard of our faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we can have talent, we can have excellency, we can have order, but without faith, what does it do? Nothing. Faith provokes love in you because you're at peace with your own life and you're able to love others. The evidence of the love of God in you is that you love somebody. And there's a culture that we have now where it's all about what I can get instead of what I can give. But you're going to learn that faith is not just about receiving, but faith is about giving. Faith is about beginning to call out to other situations and seeing things begin to happen in the spiritual realm. For some of you, this is going to be new teaching, but I'm going to go ahead and go there because some of you, I feel, are interested in this right now. Your prayer life can go beyond just calling those things that are not as though they are. But you can begin to exercise your authority over Satan by the authority that was given to us when Christ took the keys to death, hell, and the grave out of the heart of the earth. That means that we can not only call over things by faith, but we begin to wield our weapons in spiritual warfare by pronouncing God's authority over situations. We have that authority. We have the intercession. But we have not,
because we ask not.
If it's important to you, friends, you're going to pray every day. Amen or oh me. If it's important to you, you're going to take it more seriously. If you want things to begin to happen in your life, you're going to take God more seriously. He said to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. Because as you're seeking righteousness, you know what? Righteousness establishes faith. As you're living right, you know that you're pleasing to God. And so it's easy to stand firm on your faith and say, God, I'm walking uprightly before you. I'm doing all that I know to do. So I'm calling those things that are not as though they are because I know that you are pleased with my life. You ultimately have peace over everything in your life, and you don't worry about all the little small things that come to overwhelm you. Some of us have not taken that step into the deeper realm of God. And that doesn't mean that you have anything any less than anybody else, but it just simply means that you could have more, and you're not going for it. And I'm not talking about being